This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. والصلاة والسلام على المبعوث رحمة للعالمين نبينا وحبيبنا محمد صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم أما بعد اليوم الثاني والعشرون من شهر رجب 1445 الموافق لثلاثة من شهر فبراير Alfani wa, how many Ibrahims do we have? Alfani wa arba'atun wa ishrun. Nuasilu darsana fi hadha al-kitab al-mubarak fiqhi al-asma al-husna, which is written by one of our noble scholars, Sheikh Abdul Razzaq ibn Abdul Muhsin al-Badr. This is the son of Sheikh Abdul Muhsin Abbad. In Medina, al-Muhaddith, al-Medina. Yani, alhamdulillah, Allah blessed me to study from both the father and the son. Yeah, the father taught me in the year 3, and the son, we chase him in the masjid. You know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala preserve both of them upon the taqwa and grant us ability to follow their track in learning and passing their knowledge to our communities. So today, inshallah, we will be dealing with the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Ar-Razzaq. We'll be dealing with the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Ar-Razzaq. Ar-Razzaq and Razik. You know, last time we talked about the last name in the series of the names that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned, talking about himself in Surah Al-Hashr. In the last part of Surah Al-Hashr, وَاللَّهُ الَّذِي لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا هُوَ عَالِمُ الْغَيْبِ وَالشَّهَادَةِ هُوَ الرَّحْمَنُ الرَّحِيمُ. Until the last ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَاللَّهُ الَّذِي لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا هُوَ الْمَلِكُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا هُوَ الْخَالِقُ الْبَارِئُ الْمُصَوِّرُ لَهُ الْأَسْمَاءُ الْحُسْنَى يُسَبِّحُ لَهُ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَهُوَ الْعَزِيزُ الْحَكِيمُ. So today, inshallah, we'll move on to another name, which is Ar-Razzaq or Razik. I guess from the name, you will understand what this name is going to be talking about. So this is a very important lesson for all of us, because everyone is chasing risk. You know, everyone is chasing risk. Especially in this time of ours, everyone is chasing risk. A risk is supposed to be chasing us. But unfortunately, we turn to be the one who are chasing the risk. That translates the kind of life we're having. Because Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِنَّ رُوحَ الْقُدْسِ نَفَثَ فِي رُوعِي أي رَوْعِي أَلَّنْ تَمُوتَ نَفْسٌ حَتَّى تَسْتَكْمِلَ رِزْقَهَا. رُوحُ الْقُدْسِ, Jibreel alayhi salam, نافث في روعي أو روعي ألن تموت نفس حتى تستكمل رزقها. Jibreel came and inspired me that nobody will die before accomplishing that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prescribed for them. So you will not live this life before you get everything. In another place, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, I will come back to this hadith. He says, من كانت الدنيا همه جعل الله فقره بين عينيه وشتت عليه شمله ولم يأته من الدنيا إلا ما كتب له. If you have nothing to think about except dunya, what happens after that? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, جعل الله فقره بين عينيه. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to put poverty between the two eyes of that person. What does that mean? You will never be satisfied. You will never be content. You know, contentment will be removed from your heart. You will always be in a state of need. جَعَلَ اللَّهُ فَقْرَهُ بَيْنَ عَيْنَيْهِ وَشَتَّتَ عَلَيْهِ أَمْرَهُ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will scatter all of your affairs. Things will not be organized in your case. And you know, this is very dangerous. Very dangerous. That whatever you touch, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not let you make a true success in it. You might succeed, you think that it is a success, but it is not in a way it should be done. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make faqr, you know, of that person, put it between his two eyes. That means he will never be satisfied. وَلَمْ تَأْتِهِ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا إِلَّا مَا كُتِبَ لَهُ. And on top of all, the dunya that he is chasing, he is looking for, will never come to him except that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has written for him. Subhanallah, you know, you chase the dunya, you fight, you do everything, you're happy because of it, you're sad because of it, you know. You have nothing else except this. And at the end of the day, you only get that which is written. On the other hand, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, وَمَنْ كَانَتِ الْآخِرَةُ هَمَّهُ جَعَلَ اللَّهُ غِنَاهُ فِي قَلْبِهِ وَجَمْعَ لَهُ شَمْلَهُ وَأَتَتْهُ الدُّنْيَا وَهِي رَاغِبًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will put contentment in your heart. Yeah, it will make you happy. And also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will combine your affairs. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make you happy. And get involved in your affairs to let you succeed in everything you're trying to accomplish. And on top of all, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to make dunya chasing you. You know, dunya chasing you. Subhanallah. Atatu dunya wa hiya raghima. And the dunya will come, willingly or unwillingly, it will be chasing that person. So that's why I said, if we are going to be chasing the dunya in the way we are doing now, you know, that means there is something wrong in our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, especially when it comes to the dunya. You get idea? Which makes this lesson very important, because if you understand the concept of risk, you know, how is it coming to you? Where is it coming from? And which one is yours, which one is not? Bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, you'll be able to do the right thing and you relax, you know. The most important thing is to relax. Because if you don't relax, you turn to do the wrong thing. If you don't relax, you turn to do the wrong thing. So يقول الشيخ وقد ورد اسم الله الرزاق في موضع في مواضع من القرآن الكريم. قال تعالى إن الله هو الرزاق ذو القوة المتين. He said the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala al-Razzaq, you know, exists in many places in the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Like the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, إن الله هو الرزاق ذو القوة المتين ما خلقت الجن والإنس إلا ليعبدون ما أريد منهم من رزق وما أريد أن يطعمون إن الله هو الرزاق ذو القوة المتين. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I have never created human beings and the jinns except to worship me. The purpose of our creation is to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah says, ما أريد منهم من رزق. I don't want anyone to provide any risk to me. Allah doesn't need anything. Huwa al-Razzaq. How is it possible for him to need risk? He is a source of risk. Any risk you see in this dunya, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a source of that risk. So he says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ هُوَ الرَّزَّاقُ ذُو الْقُوَّةِ الْمَتِينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-Razzaq. صَاحِبُ الْقُوَّةِ. The owner of the quwwa, the most powerful. And his power is very strong. You know. If you want to see this, you have to read the history to see how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala dealt with the criminals, right? Allah doesn't come by himself to do it. Nobody deserves this. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent his junood to deal with those people. None of them survived. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَكُلًّا أَخَذْنَا بِذَنْبِهِ فَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ أَرْسَلْنَا عَلَيْهِ حَاصِبًا وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ أَخَذَتْهُ الصَّيْحَةَ وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ خَسَفْنَا بِهِ الْأَرْضَ وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ أَغْرَقْنَا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, all of those criminals that, you know, preceded you, he says, أَخَذْنَا بِذَنْبِهِ. None of them escaped. We got them with their own bad and evil behavior. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ خَسَفْنَا بِهِ الْأَرْضِ. You know, مِنْهُمْ مَنْ أَخَذَتُهُ السَّيْحَةُ. Some of them, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala send them the lightning, the shout, you know, the thunder, this the sound of an angel, you know, they die, all of them. مِنْهُمْ مَنْ خَسَفْنَا بِهِ الْأَرْضِ. Some of them, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, we open the earth, they get inside, like Qarun, we close. And that page was gone. You know. وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ أَخَذَتُهُ السَّيْحَةُ وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ أَغْرَقْنَا. Some of them, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, we send them flood, like the people of Nuh alayhi salam. Like the people of Lut, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala turned them upside down to part of the sea. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ هُوَ الرَّزَّاقُ ذُو الْقُوَّةِ الْمَتِي. And in this ayah also, that is hath, you know, motivation, encouragement, that if you hold upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because He is sahib quwwa al-mateen, meaning whatever He tells you He has the power to keep it. He always has. And that means if you're looking for support and help, you should go to this dhul quwwat al-mateen. And what He has, and He wants to give it to you, nobody can stop it from reaching you. Yeah, that's the good thing about knowing these matters of the qadr, because you will relax. Nobody will come and threaten you. Wallahi, if you don't do this and that, we will stop your risk. What would you tell him? Go ahead. Ya Allah. Anyone who said, I will stop your risk, tell him, go ahead. Yeah. Because this is a joke. If you're looking for a definition of a joke, is this one. Uqsimu billah, he cannot. If the whole world, not just the human being, including the jinns and the animals and everyone, they gather in one place to stop one ringgit that Allah wants to prescribe for you, nobody can do it. It might be so amazing that they will be the one who will bring it to your house. This is Allah. Al-Razzaq Dhulquwati Al-Mateen. وَهُوَ وَاللَّهُ خَيْرُ الرَّازِقِينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in another place, وَاللَّهُ خَيْرُ الرَّازِقِينَ. The best of providers, the best among all of those who provide for others, is Allah Rabbul Alameen. Because the khaza'in of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have no end. Khaza'in Allah azza wa jalla have no end. You know, He has everything, and whatever He has doesn't end. That's why He says, مَا عِنْدَكُمْ يَنْفَدُ وَمَا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ بَاقٍ. What you have will finish, will perish. وَمَا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ بَاقٍ. And what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has remains. You get an idea? What Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has remains. It will never finish. So why do you waste your time begging, suffering, struggling, you know, to get something from somebody who is humiliating you and telling you all sorts of words? Leave him and hold upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you Allah, sometimes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will leave us with the shaqawa, you know. I remember in the foundation, there was something we have been looking for, not to mention the place, but we have been looking for some recognition. It took 2 years. Wallahi, the worry and the time and everything, you know, subhanAllah. I remember I just started to think, you know, our iman is going down, you know. Wallahi, it just came to my heart that our iman is going down. Because we started to think that, yeah, we need to get that one for us to make a move. SubhanAllah, it took our time, we did everything possible, and it doesn't work. Whatever door that is open, we block it, and it will come back again. And I just told myself, khalas, let us just close this page and go back to the old system. Keep your faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the qadr, and subhanAllah. Wallahi, from that time, yani, subhanAllah, only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows how much we accomplish of success. And during that time, everything is just, the focus is on those ones, trying to get them with us, and they're not willing to join. We leave them. Go back to the old conservative way, which is the only way out for any problem you have. which is to be with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Do the right thing and hold upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and wait. Ya Allah. Some of them, it's very amazing, you know, the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is bringing. You know, you have nothing to say except to remember that, yes, whoever hold upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala succeed. I remember that it's just the last example I give concerning this matter. I remember the time we have a very tiny and small little office. We have so many activities, but we have a little tiny office there. And then they told us that if we get recognition by that country, one of the procedures is they will send their ambassador. He has to be instructed to go and see the place. And you know, ambassadors, when they will come with security and all of these things. I called the brothers there. I said, imagine if the ambassador come, where do we put him, you know, in this tiny, you know, room? So we have been thinking of what to do, you know. One of the options is to go and rent a place. Khalas, move. But how to pay? We didn't have a clue, you know. So we're just thinking, subhanAllah, we did not spend 2 days in thinking. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent somebody just like that. I have money like this amount. I'm looking for a center to be built. I say, la hawla wa quwwata illa billah, subhanAllah. Iwallah, just like that. We never went to that person. No, these guys were looking for them for 2 years. This one, I don't even know who they are, up to date. They say they just want to have a center being built. So I called the brothers. I said, stop looking for a renter. We have our own, subhanAllah. And that's the story of our school that exists. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala preserve it. So I'm just bringing this example, you know, to show to all of us that holding upon others, wallahi, make you, you know, discomfort and what do you call stress. You know, make you depressed. Yeah. Allah. We have witnessed this. And the time we go back to the old system, which is to hold upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and perfect your qadr, we see a lot from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَاللَّهُ خَيْرُ رَزْقٍ. The best of providers is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Iwallah. Nobody provides like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah doesn't, you know, give you and chase you away. He's the only one that when you come to him, he's happy to see you coming. And also when you don't come, he get annoyed, he get angry with you. Allah is the only one. When you don't come to him, he get angry with you. وَقَالَ رَبُّكُمُ ادْعُونِي أَسْتَجِبْ لَكُمْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, ask me. He says, ask me, I will respond to your call. If I go to him, the next day I come back, he might tell his kids to tell me he is not around. And the kids are very smart. They will tell you, he said he is not around. Ya Allah, that's the peak of disrespect, you know. This is a message to you to understand that, yes, try do it yourself. Don't go to human being unless if there is no any other choice. وَقَالَ تَعَالَى إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَهُوَ وَإِنَّ اللَّهَ لَهُوَ خَيْرُ الرَّازِقِينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the best among all of those who provide for others. Because he's the only one who remains. The rest will perish. If they don't perish, what they have will perish or decrease in the way they will have other priorities and leave you alone to keep moving. وَقَالَ تَعَالَى وَارْزُقْنَا وَأَنْتَ خَيْرُ الرَّازِقِينَ. This is the dua made by Isa alayhi salam. It says, وَارْزُقْنَا, Ya Allah, provide us with rizq because you are the best among all of those who can provide for others. So these are just some of the examples of places that you can find the name of Allah Ar-Razzaq being mentioned in the Quran. وَقَدْ وَرَدَ إِسْمُ الرَّازِقِ فِي السُنَّةِ النَّبَوِيَّةِ فَفِي السُنَنِ وَمُسْنَدِ الْإِمَامِ أَحْمَدِ أَنَ أَنَسَ بْنُ مَالِكٍ قَالَ غَلَى السِّعْرُ بِالْمَدِينَةِ. غَلَى السِّعْرُ عَلَى أَهْدِ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صلى الله عليه وسلم. Anas ibn Malik said, the price went up in Medina. The price went up in Medina. So what is the solution? They go to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. فَقَالُوا يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ سائر لنا أو لو سعرت. They went to the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, they told him, يا رسول الله, the price is not affordable in Medina. And then they said, يا رسول الله, سائر لنا. They asked him to control the price. Yeah, fix the price for us. Yeah, because the traders, they are selling very expensive, so they want Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to talk, because if he says, sell it 1 ringgit, they have to sell it 1 ringgit. You get the idea, because he's the authority, and on top of all, he is a prophet and a messenger of Allah. I want you to pay attention to this. Huh? Okay. So, they said, سَعِدْ لَنَا يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ لَوْ سَعَرْتْ فَقَالَ النَّبِيُّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ هو الخالق القابض الباسط الرازق المسعر. الله أكبر. He says Allah is a creator. He created everything, including this prices being, going up. The price being going up, Allah SWT created everything. القابض الباسط. Allah SWT is the one who restrains, gives some people little. And Allah SWT is the one who opens the doors of risk to others. And some people Allah SWT give them little, and some people Allah SWT give them a lot. As a test, right? Yeah, it is a test, but at the same time, it is the only way that we can survive properly. Subhanallah. This is also what we really need to understand. It is a test, but it's the only way that we can survive. Peacefully. That's why removing poverty, on earth. First of all, is it possible? No, it's not. It's not. And second of all, is it good? No, it's not. It's not good. And it's not possible, and it's not good. Yeah, that's why we provide people with the level of satisfaction. You don't call him rich. You don't call him rich person, but he has enough. He needs food in a day. He has in a day. Alhamdulillah, he gets 30 ringgit. What is the average you can live in terms of food every day? 15. Yeah. Let's say 15. Yeah, 15. What do you eat 15?
That's a trick.
Oh, that's a trick. No, can. Even lower than that can. I'm telling you, lower than that can, yeah. Because when you go to the, sometimes you go, sometimes you go and buy heavy food. You spend how much? No. You spend 100 ringgit. And no, even other people also cannot. But this is a family. You are just alone. How do I go and eat 100 ringgit in there? This family, I have katiba, jaysh in my house, So when you buy this. But at the same place, when you see, I enjoy going, Because you see a person will come, buy one roti, normal soup, How much is that? 2 ringgit 50 cents. The whole meal is around 2 ringgit 50 cents. Yeah? In the daytime also, they have a light one, You get it? But let's be moderate, right? Let's be moderate, not to go to... let's be moderate to say that how much is enough? 30 ringgit might be. 30 ringgit. It's the problem of digressing. It caused me to forget. Last time also in the lecture, I forgot what brought me into that. What was I talking before this? Removing poverty is not. We said it's not even good. No, that is. This is the last one. That is something that caused me to come. We provide levels. Thank you very much. Only one is. Yeah, I shouldn't digress again. So level of satisfaction. This is what we're providing for the people. He needs food. Yeah, that was that. He needs food. He has. Not in the highest level, but he has what he can. Satisfy himself with it. You get the idea. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, he says, the one that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I'm trying to remember the Arabic word, he says, whoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, man asbaha, mu'afan fi badanihi, aminan fi sirbihi, wa indahu qut yawmihi, fa ka'annama hizat lahu ad-dunya bi hadhafiriha. He says, if you wake up in the morning, wallahi, this is very interesting hadith that teaches you contentment and how to be thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, observe shukr. He said, you woke up in the morning, mu'afan fi badanihi, you are healthy, right? Wa aminan fi sirbihi, you have peace in your house. Most of us, living in Malaysia and the rest of the Muslim countries, wallahi, we have a peace, which the rest, they don't have. We have peace. You sleep, you're not thinking of anything. We're not saying that there are no criminals, you know, they are here and there, but if you, in comparison to what they have, we don't have crime in our country. You know. So, mu'afan fi badani, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant you afiyah, health in your body, and aminan fi sirbihi, you are in the aman. Wa indahu quti yawmihi, and you have what you need to feed yourself with. Not that much, but alhamdulillah, you eat and get satisfied. What is the difference between you and the one who ate the other one? I'm telling you, it's just a taste. After the food finish, you and him, you are just equal. You know. So he says, فَكَأَنَّمَا حِيزَتْ لَهُ الدُّنْيَا بِحَذَا فِيرِهَا. It's like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave you the dunya and whatsoever in it. As long as the contentment is there, you are the richest one. So we provide level of satisfaction to everyone. That's why the zakah system is there, the waqf system is there. You get an idea. All of these things that you hear some people are talking about, investing the zakat money, these are wrong approaches. Zakah is not meant for this. Zakah is meant for satisfying the need, the current need of the people who are in need. I give my zakah, okay? I give Kareem, Bashir, they finish it. Somebody will come and say, yeah, that means you're wrong. You're supposed to invest the money. We tell him, you are wrong, boss. We're not wrong. Because tomorrow, Mazin is going to give. We give it to them. Day after tomorrow, next month, is the due date for Yusuf. And there we go. You have thousands, if not millions of people among us who are giving the zakah. And we have different, hawl, that people are giving their zakah. This month is my hawl, next month is his hawl. You know, if everyone is giving, trust me, wallahi, we don't need to risk the wealth of the zakah. I go and put it in the business, and then the kasra to tijara, the business collapse. Who is responsible? Khalas, the money of the poor people, gone. They do not get to benefit from it at all. What are we doing? And also, who is there to monitor properly to make sure that there is no mismanagement? And until when we start generating the profit that we can share with others? Those people in the hospital, those people in the jail, you know, who are jailed because they couldn't pay the loan, not because they have and they don't want to pay. No, they don't have. And they said they went to jail because the system took them to jail. We need to get them out because they're good people. We need to get them out. Those people in the hospital, those people who cannot have something to eat, we tell them you have to wait because we are busy investing the wealth. You get what I'm saying? So all of these systems that Allah wants to provide for us, they are there to take people to the level of satisfaction. Not to make you so rich, but to grant you, you know, the satisfactory kind of living. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, to qualify my previous statement, that it's not good to have everyone being rich. You know, if Yusuf is very rich, Mazin is very rich, and Adam and all of us, what happens after that? We're going to be arrogant. And now, I have the same thing he has. We're going to be arrogant. Who is going to clean the bathroom you have? Who is going to do this? Who is going to sew the clothes? Who is going to go to the, what do you call, to the farm to grow the food we need? Nobody will do. Why would I serve you? I have the money. I'm serving you because I need your money. You are serving me because you need my money. This is how it is. This is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala maintained the cooperation among us. That's why in Surah Az-Zukhruf, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, نَحْنُ قَسَمْنَا بَيْنَهُمْ مَعِيشَتَهُمْ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَرَفَعْنَا بَعْضَهُمْ فَوْقَ بَعْضٍ دَرَجَاتٍ لِيَتَّخِذَ بَعْضُهُمْ بَعْضًا سُخْرِيًّا وَرَحْمَةُ رَبِّكَ خَيْرٌ مِمَّا يَجْمَعُونَ. Allah says, we are the one who distributed the risk amongst them. They are not the one who are in charge of this. We distribute the risk among them. وَرَفَعْنَا بَعْضَهُمْ فَوْقَ بَعْضٍ And we raised some of them on top of the rest. لِيَتَّخِذَ بَعْضُهُمْ بَعْضًا سُخْرِيًّا So that some of them will be able to use the other part. What does that mean? If everyone is to be equal, we have the richness and everyone is rich, what does that mean? This will not be happening, you know? And we get into trouble. Do you get idea? And we will get into trouble. So we have to understand things correctly, you know? We have to understand things correctly, you know? All of these efforts they are making, you know? Subhanallah. They want to have zero poverty on earth. Right? And then we have heard, you know, we have heard that sometimes the operational cost is 90% of the donation. Okay, I give 100 ringgit. I said, please spend it on those masakin. 100 ringgit. I said, please spend it on those masakin. I give it through an organization. That organization takes 90% of that 100 ringgit as operational cost. Well, when somebody told me, I was shocked. You know, all of these guys, you hear them, you know, the big organizations there, out there, UN, others, you know, sometimes the operational cost is so heavy. So the concept is wrong and the management also is wrong. You Allah, we just have to go back to that conservative way, attach to it a bit of technology, then we will see the effect. You Allah, we have enough. We do have enough. I'm telling you, in every country, we do have enough. If every Muslim is paying the zakah, as long as zakah is due, everyone is paying. Trust me, government will have excess of money. Government will have excess of money. How many people are rich? The amount of the money that they need to pay the zakah. Thousands of them. Yeah. Because it's about, in Malaysia, it's about 20,000 ringgit, right? How many people own 20,000 ringgit and it is there in their account for long? Thousands. Yeah. Imagine if everyone, now we're collecting maybe some billions, you know, imagine if everyone is given. Yeah. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows the day that people will be serious in the way, subhanallah, this behavior that we only find it with the Muslims, begging, will be removed. Other religions, you don't see this that much. You see that with the Muslims. And we do have enough, much better than them, and we do have akhlaq, much better than what they have. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, al-qabid al-basid. He gives some people, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not give others. Allah says in Surah Al-Shura, so that you will not misunderstand, you go and say, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala neglected me, as some people are saying that I am neglected, humiliated, disrespected. فَيَقُولْ رَبِّي أَهَانًا Right? So that you will not go and say that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminded you that I am in control, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says. He's in control. SubhanAllah, look at how much Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves us. He said, I don't send rizq like this randomly. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent it down with measurement. Measure. And they put it like that. Allah says, وَلَوْ بَسَطَ اللَّهُ الرِّزْقَ لِعْبَادِهِ لَبَغَوْ فِي الْأَرْضِ وَلَكِنْ يُنَزِّلُ بِقَدَرِ الْمَشَاءِ Allah. Really enjoyed reading this ayah. Very beautiful. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, if I'm going to send the rizq just like that, destroy it and everyone just pick up whatever you want to pick up. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says people will be corrupt. Yeah, you have nowadays how much he has? Little amount of money. I'm saying little amount of money. Whoever he is, you know, whatever mask he is, you know, he has little amount of money in comparison to those people who preceded us. Yeah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Inna Qaruna kana min qawmi Musa fabagha alayhi. Qarun used to be among the people of Musa alayhi salam. Fabagha alayhim. And he goes against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and became corrupt. Why? Because of his wealth. How much he has? You see, Allah did not even talk about the wealth itself. He talks about the mafatih, al-khaza'in, the keys that he uses to open those stores that he is storing the money inside. The keys themselves, you need a large group of people to carry them. So how many stores of gold and silver and all of these things he has? Allahu A'lam. Who is like Qarun? But then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, He says, أَوَلَمْ يَعْلَمْ أَنَّ اللَّهَ قَدْ أَهْلَكَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِ مِنَ الْقُرُونِ مَنْ هُوَ أَشَدُّ مِنْهُ قُوَّةً وَأَكْثَرُ جَمْعًا. Subhanallah. He said, Qarun forgot. Didn't he know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala destroyed before him those people who have more wealth than him? I was like, okay, if I cannot comprehend what Qarun has, then the previous ones, then how much they have, you know? Good idea. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us all of these examples so that we'll not get deviated. Whatever wrongdoing you're doing in this dunya, that is an example that already preceded you. You're supposed to go and read that one to understand what exactly happened. And if you're to repeat the same thing they did, you also will get the same result. So whatever you have is very little in comparison to what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has. So al-qabid al-ba'sa. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is sending the risk with measurement. He says, وَلَكِنْ يُنَزِّلُ بِقَدْرِ مَا شَاءَ. If he is to give us just like that, without measuring, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says people will be corrupt. And Allah doesn't want this. So it's part of his mercy upon us, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala restricted and give each and every one of us what he need to fix his affairs and to keep his iman intact. ذَلِكَ رَبُّ الْعَالَمِينَ وَلَكِنْ يُنَزِّلُ بِقَدْرِ مَا شَاءَ. Al-Razik, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who provides risk to everyone. Al-Musa'ir. Yeah. Now we come back to the request of the companions, right? They said, Ya Rasulullah, please fix the price for us. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, Inna Allaha huwa al-Musa'ir. The one who has a right to fix price is Allah Rabbul Alameen. Do you get the idea? So now what is the hukum of price control? Very, very strong fatwa, you know. Ijtihad. But whatever you're going to say, you have to wear the glasses of this hadith. You have to see this hadith first and then give you fatwa. They said, Ya Rasulullah, okay, I did not finish. Maybe that's why he's opposing you. Yusuf like ijtihad. Okay, listen, he says, Inna Allahu wal Musa'ir, right? Let's see if you will be able to hold upon that opinion. Wa inni la arju. Okay, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, I really hope. An alqa Allah, to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, wa la yatlubuni ahadun bi madhlamatin. And nobody is coming to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and asking Allah to take his right from me because I oppress him. These are all reply to the question that says, Ya Rasulullah, please fix the price for us. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Allahu huwal musa'ir. And I really don't want to oppress anyone. Go back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and somebody will come to Allah and say, Ya Allah, fulan zalamani. He said, I don't want this. بِمَظْلَمَةٍ ظَلَمْتُهَا إِيَّهُ فِي دَمٍ وَلَا مَالٍ. Whether it is blood or wealth. Okay, now I ask again. التسعير, price control. Halal or haram or wajib? أين ذهب إجتهادك الآن؟ أنت من المتوقفين؟ الواقفية؟ أعوذ بالله. Nobody wants to...
Haram.
It's haram. Yeah. Allah grant is good. And this shows that, yes, market freedom, you know, is supposed to prevail. Yeah, people in the market, they decide how much they want to sell and how much they want to buy. The job of the authority and the government is to supervise, to know that justice is being observed, nobody is harmed, nobody is being cheated, and also people are not dealing with haram things and illegal things. As for the what should I sell, what I shouldn't sell, as long as it's halal, then this freedom should remain. That's why government don't go to the market and exist there as a partner in the marketplace. Yeah, that's very dangerous. When Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, you know, nowadays in some places, you know, all the senators and they all have businesses and they have their own companies, you know. And then you want the regulation to be correct. No, it will never. It has to be according to what preserve their interests. Yeah, that's why Islamically, according to the Siyasa Shari'iyah, they don't exist in the market. You are handling the affair of the believers, then you have a salary that is enough for you to handle your matters. But you don't go and get involved in the business in the marketplace. So, you can go somewhere and do, but preferably not to. Okay? Abu Bakr, when he was appointed, you know, he was going to the marketplace with his bag. Abdurrahman bin Auf saw him. He says, Ya Khalifata Rasulillah, where are you going? He said, I'm going to the market. He said, no, go back home. It is inappropriate for you to be in the market. He said, go and deal with the affair of the believers. We are going to give you a portion of a sheep every day and also some dirahim or dinanid that is enough for you to handle your affairs at home. One of them said, nowadays they eat the whole sheep and and took all of the dinanid. You know. Subhanallah. In some countries, you know, without mentioning names, when the government left, a new one comes, you know, they're saying that we couldn't find anything in the Bayt al-Mal. What ate it? Maybe termites, you know. So that's the reason why Umar radiallahu anhu, when he found camels in the market, and he asked, these camels belong to who? They told him, this is for your son. He said, which one? He told him, Abdullah. He said, my son Abdullah? I say yes. They say yes. Okay, fine, that's good. At night, he called Abdullah. Those ones, they did live a very tough life. He called Abdullah. He says, Abdullah, I went to the market last time. Yeah, and for sure, if Omar is looking for you, you know that. There must be some. I wish I was there to see how much nervous he was. So he said, I went to the marketplace and I saw some camels, they're very nice. And surprisingly, they told me these are yours. He said, yeah, they are mine. What happened? He says, yeah, Abdullah, don't you think that if your camels exist in the market, people are going to say these are the camels that belong to the son of Amir al-Mu'mineen. And as such, the business will never be run until yours finish first. Out of respect in the Amir al-Mu'mineen, they will let yours finish first and then other people's business will go. And the price might be modified because of you. So Abdullah ibn Umar said, but this is my personal money. He said, yeah, I do understand. But do you understand what I'm talking about? He said, yes. He said, but now, what do you want me to do? He said, please, subhanAllah. This one is harsher than the first one, you know. He said, please, sell them. And take the capital, and the Prophet put it in the Bayt al-Mal al-Muslimin. SubhanAllah. Those are those ones, you know. Nowadays, always cases. When a person finishes his tenure, then cases. Look at Umar radiallahu anhu, subhanAllah. His kids doesn't have any chance to touch the wealth of the believers. I remember when Abu Musa al-Ash'ari gave them camels, they visited him in Basra, and he couldn't find something to reward them with. You know, young children visiting you, you know, and they belong to somebody who happened to be your friend, you know. You want to give them some gift. But these are the governors in the past. He went to his house. This is the governor. The whole country is under his control. He went to his house. He couldn't find something to give. So he came back to them. He told them, please, I'm very sorry. I couldn't find something to give you as a gift. Very sorry. Give my salam to Amir al-Mu'mineen. And then he said, oh, I remember. Oh, ha huna ma'lun min malillah. They say, oh, I remember there are some camels here that are supposed to be taken to Amir al-Mu'mineen. He said, I have an idea. Take these camels, on the way, invest. Sell the camel and do some business. Use the money and get some profit. When you get the profit is yours as a gift, and the capital, pass it to Amir al-Mu'mineen. They say, thank you very much. They took the camels and they went. And they sold the camels, go here and there, they got profit. But now on how to explain that, because those people, they're honest. You know, those people, they're honest. He says, هَذَا لَكُمْ وَهَذَا أُهْدِيَ عَلَيَّ. Ibn al-Tubiyya, he went to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was collecting the zakah, you know. And those people, you know, because sometimes you're very kind, so they give you some gift. Oh, this is the zakah, but this is yours. So the man was so happy. But then they are very honest. When they reached the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, Ya Rasulullah, this is yours as zakah, wa hadha uhdi alayya, and this is mine. They gave it to me as a gift. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, what do you mean? This is yours? They give it to you as a gift? He said, what do you mean? He said, put it in the Baitul Mal al-Muslimin, even that one. And then he stood up and he told people, he said, what's wrong with you guys? People, what's wrong with people? We send them for a job, and they will come back and tell us, هَذَا لَكُمْ وَهَذَا أُوْدِيَ عَلَيْهِ. This is yours and this is mine. He says, why didn't he sit in the house of his mother to see whether those people will come and give him the money or not? That's why if you're in the office of the government, it's haram to take gift. Yeah, it's haram to take gift. Alhamdulillah, you know, in many big offices you see that gifts are not allowed because it opens also the door.
Bribe,
yeah, right? Yeah. It's a gift, say salam, and then the money is there, give it to him, or give him a book, Fi Sabilillah, but inside there you have a lot of Fi Sabilil Mal inside. You know? Yeah. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Hadaya al-Ummal Ghulul, gift given to the workers, to the employees, government employees, is Ghulul. Ghulul means haram, haram money. What should I do when I take it? Then I go, I pass it to the authority. Somebody gave me this, and please do take it. If the authority says it's halal for me to use it, then I can use it. They shouldn't actually say it's okay. They should take it. They should tell me next time, don't take. And take this one, don't let me use it. Otherwise, every time also I will get it, because I know that if I come to them, they will say, just use it. Yeah. All that I have to do is just to inform them. And that door which Islam is trying to close will not be closed. So when they go to Umar, and this is Abdullah ibn Umar and his brother, Ubaydullah ibn Umar, they told him, Ya Amir al-Mu'mineen. They said, this is what happened. They told him the case. And this is the capital for Bayt al-Mal, and the Prophet, according to the agreement, is ours. Umar said, what do you mean? You mean our money? You spend it, you use it, and then you are telling me this is yours, this is mine? He says, no. Put it all in the Bayt al-Mal al-Muslimin. And this is his children, you know. He says, put in the Bayt al-Mal al-Muslimin. Abdullah ibn Umar was shocked. And his brother also was shocked, younger than Abdullah ibn Umar, you know. Younger one, they are more troublemakers than the old one. Abdullah ibn Umar and the brother said, Ya Amir al-Mu'mineen, what do you think, if this money is to be lost, to be missing, who is responsible to pay it? He said, you. They said, if we are responsible to pay it, then we should be also part of the game. Since now there is a gain, why can't we be part of it? Umar doesn't care about this. He said, no, I don't agree. Put it in the Bayt al-Mal al-Muslimin. You know, subhanAllah, the scholars are monitoring the discussion and extracting some rules from it. We got the maxim that says, Al-Kharaju bid-Dhamar, from here. Because when they mentioned this maxim, Umar did not complain, did not comment on the maxim. That means this is correct. But his children taking the wealth, because he asked them, how did you get this? They said, Abu Musa Ash'ari gave us. He said, he gave you? Say yes. Only you? He said, yes. Oh, he did not give the rest of the soldiers? They say, yeah. He gave it only us. He said, why? Is it because you are the children of Amir al-Mu'mineen? They kept quiet, you know. Radiallahu Sahaba. radiallahu anhu sahaba. You know, this is the person that you will understand. Why did he give them? You know, the rest of the soldiers are there. Why only these ones? We do believe Abu Musa al-Ash'ari is not looking for anything from Omar, but this door has to be closed. Yusuf is the prime minister, and I am just a minister, you know. He sent his children to come to me. What do I do? MashaAllah, you know, I put them in the best place. You know, I tell the family everyone should keep quiet. We respect them. I want them to go and tell him, His Excellency, that I am very kind, I'm very good. I give them a lot of gift, you know. Some contract also to go on. So I'm supposed to spend only 2 years, but then I can spend 10 years, you know. That gift really worked. So Umar radiallahu anhu asked them, is it because you are the children of Amirul Mu'mineen? They kept quiet. He said, put the wealth into the Bayt al-Mal al-Muslim. So they kept on arguing, telling him the same thing. Abdullah ibn Umar, when he realized that the father is not willing to accept, because he's matured, he kept quiet. The younger one doesn't want to keep quiet. He kept on telling Umar, what do you think, Ya Amir al-Mu'mineen? If this money is to be missing, who is responsible? Umar said, you. And then Ubaidullah will tell. Call it Mudaraba. He said, why can't you make it Mudaraba? You take the capital you share the profit with them. Rather than them taking, they take the whole profit, you share the profit with them. And here also we got another ruling which says that Mudaraba is not based on, legality of Mudaraba is not based on Ijtihad. Yeah, because there are some of these people, you know, who are telling the community that Mudaraba is based on Ijtihad. Do you know why they're saying this? Because if it is based on Ijtihad, we can revoke that Ijtihad and give another Ijtihad because of the circumstance. That's what they want. But this is kadib. Mudaraba is not based on Ijtihad. It was a transaction that was there before the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and accepted by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And here are the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. One of them is proposing the Mudaraba to be done. That means it was recognized by them, not based on Ijtihad. Which means you have to be very careful when a bank or whoever tell you that I'm doing Mudaraba, they have to tell you what is Mudaraba to them. It has to resemble that Mudaraba that we know to be in existence in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You know Mudaraba, right? You have Rabbul Mal, you have the Amil, the one who uses the wealth to invest it to get profit, and the capital provider. They agree, whatever profit you get, we share. You know, you take this percentage of the profit, I take this percentage of the profit. قال وإني لأرجو أن ألقى الله ولا يطلبني أحد بمظلمة ظلمتها إياه في دم ولا مال. He said, I really wish to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and there is nobody who is complaining against me in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of judgment. So التسعير, that's why controlling the price is wrong. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam made it prohibited. The scholar said, unless if people cannot afford their necessities. You get it? Necessity in the country. For instance, what is the most important food here in Malaysia?
Rice.
Rice, if you go to the market, you find, if you don't want that high quality rice, you know, 5 kg, 60 ringgit, and yeah. They have rice, 15. It used to be actually even 10, even 9 ringgit, you know, 5 kg. Now, things are going up in the world. Everywhere you go, things are getting expensive. 14 ringgit, 15 ringgit. Still affordable. And that can stay with the poor person, you know, for long. Let's say it goes to that 2 kg, 500 ringgit. And this is maybe the salary of somebody, you know, for the whole month. So the government should interfere here. Either they can provide subsidy if the government is having the capacity to do that. If they don't have, then they can control the price. In a way, the community will not get, the traders will not get harmed. They get a little bit of profit, you know, because we are not supposed to force them to sell it at loss. Unless if there is real necessity, people are dying. Yeah, in this case, they have to give it to the people to survive. Later on, they can pay them the money. Yeah, you take it, you have to come and pay me later on. Once your consciousness comes back to you, you live, come back and pay the money. They have to, because at that moment, you cannot just die, you know, because he doesn't want to take the wealth that belongs to others. In that situation, actually, he is allowed to take it even by force to live. But later on, he has to come and pay the money back. But these are rare circumstances. You get the idea. In the normal circumstances, when there is no necessity and there is no need, the market should function in itself. So this is a very, by itself, this is a very important hadith of Anas radiallahu anhu. And from this hadith also we see the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Ar-Razik, being mentioned by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Qala, فَاللَّهُ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى هُوَ الرَّزَّاقُ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Ar-Razzaq. أَيْ الْمُتَكَفِّلُ بِأَرْزَاقِ الْعِبَادِ الْقَائِمَ عَلَى كُلِّ نَفْسٍ بِمَا يُقِيمُهَا مِنْ قُوتِهَا. He says Allah is Ar-Razzaq. What is the meaning of Ar-Razzaq? The one who is responsible to provide rizq to everyone whom he created. Everyone amongst his creation. Who is responsible to provide the rizq? Rabbul Alameen. Yeah, Ar-Razzaq means the one who is responsible to provide the rizq to everyone. Al-Qa'imu ala kulli nafsin. And the one who stands for every soul and provide every soul with that which support that soul to live and survive. قال تعالى وما من دابة في الأرض إلا على الله رزقها ويعلم مستقرها ومستودعها وما من دابة في الأرض إلا على الله رزقها. There is no dabba, no animals on earth, actually not only the earth, any place, إلا على الله رزقها, except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who is responsible to provide risk for that animal, anyone. And subhanAllah, you can understand from this how much Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has, which is beyond our comprehension. You want us to have some estimate? Let's go through the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a very beautiful hadith. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, يَدُ اللَّهِ مَلْآ لَا يَغِيضُهَا نَفَقَتُ. Always remember this when you approach Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala looking for risk. Always remember this hadith. He said, يَدُ اللَّهِ مَلْآ لَا يَغِيدُهَا نَفَقَتُ. The hand of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is full of risk and blessings and bounties. لَا يَغِيدُهَا نَفَقَتُ. And trust me, my dear brothers, if this is your iman and you approach Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with this belief, this kind of belief, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, you will never regret and you will never be disappointed. The Muassasa, I remember that was the time the account is empty. And we have something to do. The finance officer told me, I still remember this, he told me, do you see this? I say, yeah, I see that. This is our account, right? He said, yes. And then he told me that this thing that you're planning to do, where do you think you can get it, you know? I told him, last time it was like this, right? We have this amount of money. He said, yes. I told him, the one who gave us that one is going to give us again. Don't worry. Keep planning. And subhanAllah, the time I was telling him, inshallah, if this time comes, we will get the same amount. Allah multiply it, almost 2.5, you know, double the amount. Yeah, he couldn't talk. I said, yeah, because we have nobody to support us except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Just hold upon him and relax. Take the back seat and relax. When I say take the back seat, I don't mean go home and sleep. Yeah, put effort, but understand that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is always there. I'm sharing these experiences that I have witnessed. And I'm pretty sure everyone in your life, if you have this moment of belief, even like Allah, there has been situations and moments, you know, like this and even better that pass your life, you know, subhanAllah, but we're just not paying attention to it. You don't hold upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and get disappointed. You hold upon me, hold upon him, hold upon them and get disappointed, but not Rabbul Alameen. Yeah, do it correct. Just have iman. You will see amazing things in this dunya. Inshallah, slowly, slowly, I will be sharing this good moment. Inshallah, pushing you also to share yours one day so that we can benefit from what you are getting from Allah. So the Prophet said, Yadullahi mal'a la yagiduha nafaqatu. The hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are full. Very full. La yagiduha nafaqatu. And no matter how much you take from the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, no matter how much you take, if you come back and see, you will see the same thing is like you did not touch it. You Allah. You remember that hadith the Prophet said, if all of us, from Adam alayhi salam until the last one, how many we have? How many billions?
100.
Well, it could be more.
That's what they estimate.
It could be more than that. Actually, if we go to Ya'juj and Ma'juj, because we believe they are also human beings like us and their size is too big. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Ya'juj and Ma'juj, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of judgment, he will, amongst those people who go to hell, he will take 999 from Ya'juj and Ma'juj and one from the rest of the human beings. Meaning, if you want to know how many they are, the population of human beings multiplied by that amount. Get Ya'juj and Ma'juj. Imagine all of the creations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, human beings alone, jinns, how many are they? Allahu alam. Angels, how many are they? Allahu alam. Get the idea, ma ya'lam junud rabbika illa hu. Just Baytul Ma'mur, every day, 70,000 angels, every day since it was created, every day 70,000 angels are going around Baytul Ma'mur making tawaf. And whoever goes will never come back to it forever. Every day is new angels. Each one of us has how many angels? Minimum 4. You have Raqib and Atid, and you have one here. Those one who are responsible to protect you. You have Qareen from the angels also. Allahu Alam, how many other angels also are following you wherever you go? These are just us. Jinns also they have here and there, you know. Angels, animals, you know, insects, fish, you know, the sea animal, all of these ones. If all of us are together in one place and to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala our need, I hope you're listening to this properly, you know, because inshallah it will help you. Next time you will never hesitate when you're invoking and asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala your need. And let us tasqil shay'an. Allah, when you're approaching Allah, don't you ever say that something is difficult. If it's written for you, you will get. Allah. If it's not written for you, you will not get. I remember when I studied in Medina, we were about to exit. I was going to take the ticket from somebody, and that was the last day I have to leave tomorrow morning after Fajr. SubhanAllah. Very interesting story that I see that blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that if you are to put your trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you get what you want. SubhanAllah. Nobody who went to that person to get the ticket to leave, except that person chased them away. Whoever goes there, they have been chased because they did not follow the procedures. That you have to bring a lot of quotations, then they will choose which one is cheaper and the best. Nobody did. I don't know, because this is the first time we are going out, so I don't know what is the process. But subhanAllah, the man when I went, you know, after seeing all of them are going, I did not tell myself, okay, take the example, they already lost, you also, you're going to lose. SubhanAllah, I just, the last one came, you know, he said, I'm also supposed to go and get another quotation, not only this one. SubhanAllah, I just went with the belief that inshallah, it will work. When I go to the person, he say, why do you bring this? I say, am I supposed to bring something else? He say, yes. And I said, I do not know about this. And then he looked at it, he sees me coming to Malaysia. This is when I was. He said, but why didn't you go back to your country? Why Malaysia? I told him, well, I have admission to come and study here. And tomorrow is the final day I should leave. SubhanAllah, he took the pen, he signed. If I'm going to say that the predecessors, the previous people, they went and they have been rejected, I'm going to lose. That's why Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Ana 'inda husni dhanni 'abdi bi." Memorize this, you know, and live with it. He says, "I'm always according to the good expectation, you know, of my slave." Let him expect whatever he wants to expect. Expect good from Allah. You will see it bi-idhnillah azza wa jal. Tell yourself, no, it's too difficult for me to get. Allah will leave you with your expectation. Allah will leave you with your expectation. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to take me to Makkah with my money. Allah refused. He took me 3 times. I want once. 3 times free of charge. And then somebody will come and tell you that, I keep on doing. No, you have to check your iman. I'm not saying I have. No, I don't have. I'm trying my best. But it's a very important concept to hold upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to believe that as long as you approach Him, inshallah, you will never be disappointed. Never seen disappointment in your life. Bi-idhnillah azza wa jal. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَكَأَيِّ مِن دَابَّةٍ لَا تَحْمِلُ رِزْقَهَا اللَّهُ يَرْزُقُهَا وَإِيَّاكُمْ. So I guess this ayah will be the best place to stop. Before I stop, I was interpreting that hadith. يَدُ اللَّهِ مَلْأَى لَا يَغِيضُهَا نَفَقَةٌ. So all of these creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if they are to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for everything they need, Allah will multiply it, you know, any amount He wants. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to give each and every one of us the best of what He asked for. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, if you go back to the bounties of Allah, we will never reduce that, you know, khaza'in of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in any way. You see it the same. It's like we did not touch it. He said, it's just like when you take a needle, you go to the ocean, you put the needle inside. You see that needle, that small tiny thing, right? You put it inside and bring it out. It comes out with one little tiny drop of water. He says, if there is something to be used to say that, yeah, we decrease the bounties of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's just like what happens between this needle and the ocean. So why do you lose hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? He says, لَا يَغِيضُهَا نَفَقَةٌ سَحَاءُ اللَّيْلِ وَالنَّهَارِ. He says, لَا يَغِيضُهَا نَفَقَةٌ, the most generous one, the one that gives in the day and night. And then he mentioned this beautiful conclusion. He says, أُنْظُرْ إِلَيْهِ كَمْ أَنْفَقَ مُنْذُ خَلَقَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. He says, look at Allah and think about what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has been spending from the time He created the heavens and the earth. How much you think Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spent? Do you get an idea? If you can have access to the founders of this university from the time it was founded, go and ask how much was spent to keep the university intact up to date. Huge amount of money. Ask the government here. If you can have access to the predecessors and see how much was spent to make this country built up in the way we see it nowadays. Imagine, everyone is dependent on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He provides for everyone. And all of these are free of charge. Yeah, so in conclusion, I really advise you to understand this concept properly. You have Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, please Him. Yeah, please Him. Inshallah, we're going to have the mention of one of the beautiful hadiths of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Whatever he says is very beautiful. You know, to see, you know, and to know how can you get the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in a very easy and good way. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us good and tawfiq and be with us wherever we are. Innahu bi kulli jameelin kafeel. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta. Astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Sheikh Rida, maybe whatever question you have, maybe you can ask. Or you have the same questions. Ah, okay then. He just saw. Okay then. Alhamdulillah. Okay.
I read that in the time of Umar, he had difficulty finding people to give zakat because everyone had reached a level of wealth where they were comfortable. So isn't this something honorable?
Thank you very much for raising this thing. No, I was supposed to talk about it, then I forgot. And many people believe that Umar ibn Abdulaziz, he made everyone rich in his time. This is wrong. Umar ibn Abdulaziz never did this. Making everyone rich, no. He has a system he followed, which he made the place conducive for everyone to engage in business. Remove the taxes, so people are encouraged to give them incentive to move. So that's why, and also he rents the land that belongs to the government, so people are using it to invest, you know. So they're paying the kharaj, which is the rent they took. They're paying that one, and they're paying zakah. That's why the government have a lot of money, access. They have access, you know, of money, you know, a lot. However, there was a time when some people came to him, that they wanted to pass their zakah. Umar ibn Abdulaziz says, why can't you go back and give it to your own people in your own territory? They said, we have already finished. Nobody needs it there. Umar said, okay, here also, I don't know who to give, but you can go around and see, maybe you can find somebody to take, and they couldn't find anyone. But what happened was, it's not that Umar made everyone rich. No, he did not. Umar did two things, which is the responsibility of the government in any place. You need to address the heart first, before you start giving people. You need to fix the heart. Nowadays, don't we have people who are rich and they collect charity? We do have, because the heart is dead. So Umar motivated the scholars, empowered the scholars to go and penetrate the community and educate everyone. So people fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in his time. So a person who has any level of satisfaction, you know, he doesn't need that much. So when you go to him and tell him, take the zakah, he's not rich, but he tells him, no, I have enough. Go and look for somebody who needs more than me. Do you get an idea? And even if you say that in that place everyone is rich, which is also not possible. Even if you say in that place, this is just the place where the Amir al-Mu'minin exists. The other villages, the other states, the other places, we don't know their condition. And for sure, they remain in the way they are. They're still needy people. Because if you remove this need, trust me, nobody is going to cooperate with another person. That's why Allah SWT says, one of my blessings upon you is like I make differences between you guys. Some people are rich, some people are poor. If he is to close this gap completely, then nobody will serve another person. Nobody. You have to learn everything by yourself. And you cannot do everything. You know. So what happens in the time of Umar ibn Abdulaziz is not that he made everyone rich. This is wrong information being passed to us. Yeah. If you read the history, the correct approach is that Umar provide them with their needs. Did you get the idea? Those people who are within his territory. As for other people, his justice give everyone permission to go and move on earth and seek for the bounties of Allah SWT by themselves. You get the idea? Because you might find a person who is poor, but he doesn't want to take zakah. Doesn't. He will tell you, no, alhamdulillah, every day I go out, I get what I need to eat. I don't want zakah. Please look for somebody who doesn't have. This person, is he rich? Yes, he's rich in the heart, but not physical or material. Richness, you know.
JazakAllah khairan, Sheikh. Sister Shima has three questions. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Sheikh.
Assalamu alaikum.
The first question is, what is the ruling on gold jewelry? If a woman owns a set of necklaces and bracelets with a total weight of 100 grams for over 5 years, and for example, does she need to pay zakat every year, although she wears them several times during the year?
Yes. My majority of the scholars believe that the jewelry for the sister that she kept for beatification and adornment is not zakatable. However, looking at the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there are around 30 hadith. Each one of them is saying that zakat is wajib. And to my knowledge, there is no hadith attributed to the Prophet ﷺ that is authentic, which says zakat is not wajib upon the jewelry. Not a single one. All the hadith from him, Rasulullah ﷺ says zakat is wajib. Otherwise, what would you say about this sister who came to the Prophet with her daughter? And the daughter was wearing, what do you call this? Bracelet. Something the sister put on their hand. You know, call it whatever you want. Yeah. So she was wearing this thing. And then the Prophet told her, this thing, are you paying zakah for it? She said, no. He said, this thing might be, putting you into trouble with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of judgment in hell. I mean, wearing the thing, what does that mean? She's using it for beautification, right? Because she even brought it on her hand. It's not like something she put in a box. No, she was wearing it. And said the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to her this. Musalama and Aisha radiallahu anha. Musalama said, Ya Rasulullah, I have gold rings and I kept them for adornment, Rasulullah, for you. Is it the kanz that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, if we don't pay the zakah, we will get into trouble? Is it the kanz that I'm not supposed to keep? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Ma balaga antu ad-dina zakata. Whatever reached the nisab and you're paying the zakah, then it's not kanz. But if you're not paying the zakah, then it is kanz. But she said, Ya Rasulullah, these are rings for beautification, and he says you should pay the zakah. In the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that says, there will be nobody who has gold or silver and he's not paying the zakah except that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will turn them into metal on the day of judgment. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will lash him with those metals for 50,000 years. You know? And then, ثُمَّ يَرَى سَبِيلَهُ إِمَّا إِلَى الْجَنَّةِ وَإِمَّا إِلَى النَّارِ. And then he will be shown his path, either to Jannah or to hell. For 50,000 years he will be punished. That's on the day of judgment. Before he sees the place in hell. So that's why the best opinion, wallahu a'lam, and the safest opinion, even if you take the opinion of the majority of the scholars, which I couldn't find any evidence to support it except the hadith of Aisha. Aisha said there is no zakah in them, but there is another narration also attributed to her which says there is zakah in it. So even the narration to Aisha also is shaky. You get it? So the safest opinion for a sister is to pay the zakah for this gold every year. Get the idea? Just to get the value and then just give the zakah and not to let it accumulate. Yeah, when it accumulates, then she can pay according to her ability, slowly until she finished, inshallah. There are some scholars who said she has to sell the gold. You know, however, I don't see any evidence in this. Since she's looking for the value, she doesn't need to sell, and she can take from her pocket money and pay. If she doesn't have, wait until the time she has and then pay as quickly as possible, inshallah. May Allah grant us good.
Her second question, Sheikh. What is the ruling on gold bars? Do we have to pay zakat every year for the gold bars that we keep for investment, or do we pay zakat after the gold bars are liquidated?
No, as long as the gold exists and it is under your ownership, then that gold, zakat has to be paid from that gold as long as it reaches 85 grams, you know. As long as the gold is still there and you are the owner, then you have to pay the zakah.
Her third question, Sheikh. Is it permissible to charge or accept royalties or franchise fees for products that one invented?
Selling the franchise, is it the question?
Is it permissible to charge or accept royalties or franchise fees for products that one invented?
I don't get
royalties. مثلاً, I invent something and then someone wants to sell it. So what? For example, he sells it for 1 ringgit. Every unit that he sells, I get 10 cents.
Then that's the agreement and he agrees.
No.
Yeah, that's it. That's meant to, I do not. He doesn't own the thing completely.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Jazakum Allah khairan, ya Shaykh. Shaykh, just one question, inshallah. Tips for restaurant workers, you know, petrol station workers, and bonuses of people with salary. So we have tips for restaurant workers and all these things, and we have bonuses that the company pays them. You know, tips the customer pays the workers, and bonuses that the company pays them. Are these allowed?
If they are paid to do what they're doing, you shouldn't give them anything. But if they're just doing something which they're not, it's not their job, and you decided to give them, like those, you get the idea. And if you know that this is allowed by the company, if it is not allowed by the company, you shouldn't do it because you're helping them to cheat the company. Salaam. Yeah. If you're paid, you know, to do a job, you cannot take anything for that while doing that job. You teach in a school, university, and they pay you, right? Because of your job, Mazin is your student, he enjoy being in a class, and he come with 1 kg of gold. Said, Professor Yusuf, this is yours. I'm not sure whether Yusuf will remember that hadith or not, you know. But since you have been paid for that, can you take it? You can't. But another service you provide him, which is not part of what is the agreement between you and the company, and he pays you for that, that should be okay, inshallah.
Bonus.
But if you know that the company says he cannot provide any service, and he agrees with that, you shouldn't help him to do anything.
The company pays bonus for the workers. Is it allowed for the worker to accept the bonus?
The bonus that the company is giving, the normal bonus that I know, that one. Yeah. Why not? Please, when they give you, just send it to us. You know? I mean,
question from my brother Sheikh. Assalamu alaikum. Ahsanallahu ilaykum fi din wa akhirah. I am about to reattempt to propose to a sister who said she wasn't ready before. Before this, I had done it on a private message in a straightforward manner. I still believe it's the best way to do it since it would be sensitive if the word gets out to our work environment if I try to reach her in any other way. Will it be okay if I do it again as long as I keep it as short and to the point as possible?
Why don't you go and talk to her father? Why don't you go and talk to the wali? Yeah, straightforward. This is my advice to him. Go and talk to the wali if she has one. If the parents are not Muslim, she doesn't have wali technically, then khalas, you can go directly to her. Sometimes talking to a girl, you know, apart from being wrong, also you might lose completely the chance. You know, I know a case when the boy talked to the girl before the parents know. The father said he doesn't mind, but he cannot forget that one. Why did he talk to her before he talked to him? He said, I have no question, I have no issue with his manners and attitude, but this is not the system we follow at home. If he come and talk to us, it's easy, simple. We're not going to make things complicated, but why did he? You know? So the correct method is to identify who do you want and then talk to the guardian.
Sheikh, I thought if the sister was a convert, then you had to go to like either the imam of the masjid or...
I know the imam is the wali.
The imam is automatically the wali.
So. The imam is the wali. But you don't go to him, you don't need to go to the imam and tell him, I want to propose, do you allow me? That one you do it with the parents, those people who have the blood relationship with her.
But the marriage,
that the imam will call her. There has to be imam, Muslim imam.
No, I meant if the sister is a convert and her parents are kuffar.
Yeah.
Then
you can talk to her.
You can talk directly to her.
You can talk to her if in a way that, inshallah, we don't expect fitna to exist. Okay. Yeah. Then go directly and tell her, I want to marry, she might smack you. Yeah. Yeah. But usually people, what they do, send message to somebody who can have access to her and then get her permission from you. Because what else you have of ways? Her parents are not the wali for her. Although I don't advise a person who married a sister whose parents are not Muslim to marry without informing them. It's good to create that good relationship with them, not to let them understand that they are neglected. Yeah. Yes, will be a means of da'wah to them, bi'iznillah azza wa jalla. But she cannot marry without having the imam's permission. If there is an imam, Muslim imam, she's living in the Muslim countries. What if she's living in a place, she's with him, and two of them remains? No masajid, no imam, no anyone. And a kuffar country. And they're the only Muslim in that place. What can she do? And they want to marry each other. They cannot afford making hijrah. Very poor.
Bismillah.
Can they just tell Bismillah ala You have two opinions here, but let me hear the fatwa from Yusuf.
Because Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam married Ummu Habiba, and An-Najashi was the wali.
An-Najashi was a Muslim. An-Najashi was a Muslim.
He already
converted. Yeah. That's why Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam prayed for his janazah. You know. All of your evidences are gone. Okay. So there are two opinions here. One of them said, she appointed him to be Hawali. So he's going to say, I, Yusuf, so-and-so-and-so, the Wali of so-and-so-and-so, am marrying so-and-so-and-so to myself. Qabilt? Yes, qabilt. Yeah. Many scholars said this. However, Ibn Uthaymeen says, it might be better she acts as a wali herself in that case. Wallahu alam, I'm more comfortable with the first opinion to avoid that hadith of the Prophet ﷺ that says any woman that marry herself to another person without the permission, although there is no wali here, then فَنِكَحُهَا بَاطِلْ بَاطِلْ بَاطِلْ. Although we don't have the wali here, but it would be good also to have the man who is representing her to make it really different from the prostitution. Inshallah. But both are okay, inshallah. Either she acts as a wali of herself or the man is acting, both are okay, inshallah.
Question from my sister Sheikh. I would like to get clarification regarding giving gifts to a government servant. Can we elaborate more? For example, if it's just a normal gift like a diary.
No. Even diary. Nothing. Between you and the government employees is just Jazakallah Khairan. Thank you. That's it. No gift. Even a piece of paper. You get the idea? He's supposed to bring the pen. He did not bring. He asked you to give you. Okay, that one, inshallah, is okay. I was going to say, even that one also, tell him, bring yours. Yeah, because there are some people who will push you to use your money to serve them, and they'll go and claim also. Get ideas. So we have to be very, very careful. When it comes to government offices, no gift at all. Small, big. The only gift you have for them is Jazakallah Khair. That's it. Only this? Yes. That's everything. Jazakallah Khair. Finish? Okay, but very quickly so that we can catch up the Maghrib.
The next question, Sheikh. In the case of medicine, should brothers and sisters study the wise relevant, that study is something that's relevant to them?
I think I answer. If I answer in the wrong way, then you can tell me. Okay. Yes, they should study what is appropriate for them. That's what, who is supposed to master the gynecology? Sisters. And now, unfortunately, you have the vast majority of the doctors, the gynecologists, they are sisters or brothers? Brothers, unfortunately. Yeah. We need sisters also to be expert in dentistry. Yeah, because what is the center of beauty in human being? Leg, the feet, the face, right. And she's going to bring her head to this man. The whole thing, she's bringing her face and opening her mouth. You know, and then he is, I don't know, you know, what is he doing? But it doesn't look good, and it's wrong, actually. Yeah, a dentist should tell her to go to meet another sister to do it for her. As a Muslim, this is not necessary. So that's why it is more appropriate everyone to go and study the field which they can benefit the ummah more. Yeah, Allah grant is good. Khalas, finish. Okay. So I guess we stop here. Bi-Izinillah Azza wa Jal. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant you good and tawfiq and be with you wherever you are. Innahu bi kulli jameelin kafeel. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa